This is Tim Hendel speaking to you from Huntsville, Alabama. I'm here to tell you about the TEAC, that's spelled T-E-A-C, the TEAC HD1, HD radio, which was purchased from J&R Music for about $99. And I don't know whether or not J&R was having a special at the time, but they didn't charge shipping. I thought I'd take a few minutes and tell you a little bit about the history and a description of HD radio. Those of you who already know this part of the subject may want to take 5 or 10 minutes to get a cup of coffee, and then we'll continue. HD stands for high definition, and that was not originally the term used for this digital radio broadcasting. HD is a term that came from digital television, where indeed it is high definition because the picture is said to show much more detail than a regular analog television picture. I believe this mode of radio transmission was originally called digital radio, but that term was confusing to the public. Many people thought that a digital radio was simply a radio which displayed the frequency readout digitally, i.e. 650 on AM, 89.3 on FM. So the marketing folks came up with the term HD radio, and it has stuck. HD radio operates on both AM and FM, although with slightly different parameters. After much investigation, the format for HD radio chosen in the United States is called IBOC, I-B-O-C, or in-band on-channel. Canada and Great Britain have experimented with totally different forms. On AM, an HD radio signal is said to have the sound quality of FM. On FM, it is said to have the sound quality of a CD. That, of course, would depend a great deal on the quality of the amplifier and speakers in your FM radio. Proponents of HD radio said that this higher audio quality might save radio from the decline in listenership that it has experienced over the past several years. I happen not to agree completely with that, but my opinions will have to be spoken elsewhere. On AM, the only advantage of an HD signal is that the sound quality is said to be better. Although since most AM radio these days is talk of one kind or another, it seems to me that it hardly matters. It is said that an HD signal on AM does not travel as far as the regular analog signal, but I don't have any statistics about that. There are no HD radio stations on AM here in my market, so we won't be analyzing that very much. HD on FM, however, does have some rather interesting possibilities. In addition to the sound quality improvement, whether it is or isn't there, the big thing that an HD radio station can do on FM is transmit one or even two other programs. The first program, if you want to call it that, is exactly the same program as on the main channel, and it's called HD1. HD2 is a separate program, and stations can even have HD3. We'll hear a few demonstrations of HD2. None of the stations in my market have HD3. The public radio station, WXXI, in my hometown of Rochester, New York, was running three channels: classical music on its regular FM. WXXI also has an AM station that carries All Things Considered and Morning Edition and all of those NPR talk shows. In addition to being on the AM dial, those were and are carried on HD2. And for a while, WXXI was carrying the BBC World Service on HD3. However, they decided to drop that so that they could have more bandwidth for HD1 and HD2. There has been some talk of using HD radio for radio reading services for the blind instead of the 67 or 92 kilohertz subcarrier that is currently used. But as far as I know, this effort hasn't gone too far yet. Now we discuss the TEAC HD1, which is a nice table radio. There are several of these radios out there, priced anywhere from the 80s to maybe $150. With the exception of the Dice Electronics talking HD radio, which is totally accessible to the blind, the price for that radio is somewhere around $250, although we have heard rumors that it's been temporarily withdrawn from the market. I've not had the opportunity to even see, let alone try, the Dice radio, but a review of it in a publication called The Beacon from the Association for the Blind in Rochester gave the Dice radio a rather negative review in terms of stations that it would pick up. I cannot either verify or dispute that review. I'm just passing it on to you. So back to the TEAC. The TEAC is a flat table radio. It's approximately 12.5 inches from side to side, 7 inches from front to back, and about 4 inches high. Very similar in size and shape to the Cambridge Audio Model 88 that some of you may have seen, or the Bose Wave radio, which Paul Harvey used to advertise a lot. It has two small speakers, one on each side, facing front. They're about 3 inches. Years ago, we used to think that a 3-inch speaker was pretty small, but the way they design speakers today, you can get quite a bit of sound out of this radio. It may not play loud enough to wake up your neighbors or break your lease, but it definitely can fill any large room in your home. On the top of this radio are 2 knobs, 6 buttons, and an iPod docking station. So you can't set anything on top of the radio. There are also 6 buttons on the front of the radio and some jacks on the back. On the top of the radio is a round volume button and a round station tuning button. Both of these buttons, although you turn them like an analog knob, they work digitally and they both have detents. The station tuning knob goes up or down by 200 kilohertz on FM, in other words 89.1, 89.3, 89.5, and 10 kilohertz on AM, in other words 650, 660, 670. The iPod docking station comes with 4 little plastic adapters, so you can plug in different size iPods, and not only can you charge the iPod, you can play the sound through the radio, you can control the iPod with the radio, and you can even get video out from the back of the radio to display whatever the iPod is showing on some kind of a video screen. We have not tested this in any way. I don't know whether this charging port or docking station would also work with things like the Victor Stream or the C-Crane Witness. All that the manual tells us is that they work with the iPod. There are 6 buttons on the top. The row that is farthest from the front contains power, which they call standby, band switching from AM and FM and audio input, which they call function, and memory. Memory is a button we'll definitely talk more about. On the bottom row is play pause for an iPod, something called HD tag, which works with an iPod to help you spend your money, and a clock, which is totally inaccessible to us. There's also a sleep bar on the top of the radio, but the alarm setting is inaccessible to a blind person. According to the manual, the way the HD tag works, if you have your iPod hooked up and you hear a song on the radio, and I think this would only work with radio stations transmitting in digital, not transmitting in analog, although it doesn't say that, but that's what I think. You push this button called HD tag, and it sends some data to your iPod, and then when you link your iPod to your computer, it takes you directly to the Apple iTunes store, and you're asked if you would like to purchase this song that you have tagged. So a nice little way for Apple to squeeze some money out of careless people listening to the radio. But of course, there's no law that says you have to use it. On the front, there's a column of buttons on the left, sleep, preset, which we'll talk about, and muting. Muting is handy because if you are sitting on an HD2 channel and you turn the radio on, it takes about 10 seconds for the radio to come to life. So if you're listening on HD and you want to answer the phone or something, you might like to hit the mute just to silence the radio, and then of course it comes back instantly. On the right, to the right of the display, are three buttons, Alarm 1 and Alarm 2, which we can't use, and EQ. Years ago, our audio units used to have a bass control and a tone and a treble control, usually round tone control knobs. Some of our table radios only had one control. Our stereo units usually had two. And often we'd have a three-band or even a five-band equalizer with sliders to tailor the sound. Well, many stereo units and audio units, including this radio, have done away with that. Instead, they have a button marked EQ for equalizer. I would rather mark that button as IB, the idiot button, because this button gives you various tailored audio parameters, which, according to the manufacturer, are appropriate for different kinds of music. Personally, I'd rather set it myself, but it does what it does, and it works pretty well. These are the EQ settings and the presumptive names the manufacturer has given them. Normal, which is a pretty flat response. Rock, pop, classical, jazz, bass boost, and back to normal. Of course, we blind people cannot see on the screen what EQ has been brought up, but we can certainly use our ears. On the back of the radio are, first of all, two connectors. FM, which is an F connector, the kind you screw on that most modern TVs and cable TV boxes have. The AM connector. Now, the AM antenna is not built into the radio. It's a little loop that you mount somewhere on the wall or somewhere outside of the radio. The reason for this is that if you had the AM loop antenna or ferrite rod antenna inside the radio, it would pick up too much interference from the digital display. The plug for the AM antenna doesn't look like any other kind of plug that you probably have, so you cannot easily connect a different kind of AM antenna, such as a select antenna or the C-Crane twin coil loop antenna, to the AM. You can put those antennas next to the AM loop and improve the AM reception by what is referred to as induction. But the only way you could really connect an outside AM antenna directly would be to cut the wire off of the AM loop that you're supplied with the TAC radio, and then connect that wire to some other kind of antenna. That is something I'm not going to try. But otherwise, you can't plug anything in. Now, all the other jacks are your standard mini plug. There's video out, which I have not tried, but apparently if your iPod is displaying video, you can send that to a screen. Auxiliary in, you could easily connect your NLS player, your Victor Stream, or the sound card of your computer, and have nice audio for whatever you want to listen to. Line out, and this is in stereo, it's a mini plug, you could easily connect it to a big stereo system and really enjoy that digital sound. Or you can connect it to some kind of a recording device, be it a tape recorder, a CD recorder, a computer, and record audio. And that's what I use to make the audio that you'll hear for samples in a few minutes. And the final jack is for headphones. As far as I know, there's no way to capture the digital stream that the radio receives and send it directly to a computer for recording or processing without going through the analog section of the radio. This feature might be interesting to certain high-end users, but the only way to get anything out of the radio, as far as I know, is to go through its audio outputs, either the line out or the headphones. Before we give you some samples of the performance of this radio, we'll talk a little bit about the memories or presets. There are 20 presets on FM and 10 presets on AM. Setting the presets is semi-inaccessible for us blind folks. Why do I say semi-inaccessible? because of the manner in which you set the memories, and it is very unfortunate that many receivers and stereo units are using this same system. It works like this. First, of course, you find the station that you want to put in memory, and you can put either an HD1 channel or an HD2 channel in memory, and the memory will save either one. When you have located your station, you press memory, which is one of those buttons on top of the receiver. Now on the screen is displayed the memory position where the radio thinks that you want to put the station. Here's where your problem comes in as a blind person. If the memories are completely empty, you'll be offered position one. And if you want position one, you will simply press the memory button again. If the memories are completely empty, but for whatever reason you want position three, you press the memory button, then press the preset button, which is on the front of the radio. You press it twice, and now you're being offered preset three, and you press the memory button again, and now your station is in preset three. To listen to the stations in memory is no problem. You simply press the preset button on the radio, and it rotates around through all your memories, 20 on FM, 20 on AM. The problem is this. Once you have some of those presets filled up, and you find a station you want to put in another preset, or maybe replace one that's in one of the presets, when you press the memory button, you have no way of knowing what preset the radio is offering you. Therefore, you have no way of knowing where you're putting this station that you want to put in memory. There are two solutions, neither of them very satisfactory. One is to get some sighted help to know which presets are being offered. The other one is to unplug the radio and take out the two AAA batteries, which are used for memory backup. This will completely empty the presets. It will also completely restart the clock, so when you plug the radio in, the clock shows 12 midnight. As I said, there's no way for us blind people to set the clock anyway. If you want to set it, you'll need sighted help. If you've emptied your presets, you can set them. If you haven't, you will need some help to know what preset you're putting a station in. We don't particularly like this feature, but it does seem to be common. Using the presets is no problem. This radio comes with a remote. When I first looked at the remote, I saw a group of 12 buttons that were arranged exactly like the buttons on a telephone. And I said to myself, this is wonderful. You can enter frequencies directly from the remote. If I want to enter 89.3 and I'm already on FM, I enter 893 and maybe the radio will go there. If I want to enter 1180 on AM, I just enter 1180. And the radio will go there. I was very disappointed to find that this is not the case. In fact, though most of the buttons on the remote are arranged as a telephone keypad, all they really do is duplicate the buttons on the unit itself, and I've already gone through all the buttons on the unit. When I discovered this was the case, I put the remote away and decided there was no point in learning to use the remote. You can't even press in the buttons for the preset. Say you want a station and it's in preset 15, and you're now listening to preset 1. You have to push the button on the radio 14 times. You also have to press the button on the remote 14 times. What a waste. I think TIAC could have done a much better job with the remote. Now let's get to performance. AM performance is definitely mediocre as far as pulling in stations. This is true with so many of these table radios, and it is a shame. Since it requires a stronger signal on AM to get a digital signal, even if the station is using it, it is a shame that the AM performance is so poor. It would be nice to have a radio that performed on AM as well as, let us say, one of the C-Crane radios or one of the super radios. Then you might have a better chance of pulling in digital AM, even if you were a little ways away from the market. This radio is very mediocre on AM, and we won't demonstrate it. On FM, I would give the radio an A or even an A+. The radio comes with a wire dipole, you know, the T sort of antenna that you just tack up on your wall. This wire is not intended to be mounted outdoors. And you connect it to the FM, the F connector. I use the C-Crane FM reflex antenna, which is a sturdier and more robust version of your typical dipole, although it also is not intended to be mounted out of doors. It would be great to see what this radio would do with a nice rotatable Yagi on your roof, but I don't have one. In the city of Huntsville, not right next to any transmitters, but nevertheless in the city, connecting the dipole, which can sometimes cause total chaos on some FM radios, I was absolutely not able to overload this radio on any frequency. No. All the frequencies came through with only the station that was there. And I picked up some distant stations, as you will hear. Let's first demonstrate a little bit of going from HD1 to HD2. You'll hear WLRH on 89.3 during All Things Considered. When I flip to HD2 by turning the knob on top, you'll hear their 24-hour-a-day classical music program. Then we'll go back to HD1, and it will sound like this.
That he maintained Egypt's peace treaty with Israel. Thinking ahead... of that treaty...
If you're tuning around looking for stations that might have HD2, you will only find them if you're going from lowest to highest on the dial. After you land on your station, such as 89.3 that we just did, your next click of the dial will put you on HD2. But when you're coming down the dial, you won't see HD2 at all. Also, the minute you land on an HD station and you're hearing HD1, you have to wait about 7 or 8 seconds before HD2 becomes available. If you listen very carefully, especially if they're doing something like reading the news, you can hear a little tiny hiccup when the HD1 kicks in. Only at that point will you hear the HD2. We may try to show you this here. I will be sitting on 89.3. I'll go down to 89.1, where there's nothing. I'll come to 89.3. I'll click once more, hoping to find HD2. But in fact, I'll find 89.5, which has nothing on it. I'll have to go back to 89.3 and wait, and then click up one click, and I will have my HD2. We'll try to show you what this sounds like.
Treaty or nation of Israel and Israel.
I think the credibility between Egypt and Israel in these days is very low.
Did you notice that I had to sit on WLRH for a few seconds before I was able to bring out HD2? Unfortunately, we only have a very few stations in this market that have an HD2 signal. I would love to try the radio in a larger market. One of them is our country station, WDRM, on 102.1. They have another country channel on HD2, which they call Modern Country. I'm not very familiar with popular country music, and to me, both channels sound about the same. But you will hear me switch from the HD1. I've already waited on WDRM long enough for it to come up, and I'll switch to HD2. Never had a plan, just a living for the man. There's another station on 100.3 whose format is some kind of classic rock. And what they have on their HD2 is talk from their AM station on 1230.
And your parents have to be involved, or your guardian has to be involved, whoever's involved with you.
And there's only one other station here broadcasting HD2. They're some kind of a rock station, and their HD2 also has rock, and I don't know enough about rock music to tell the difference. My friend who purchased this radio, in fact, purchased it because our public radio station is broadcasting classical music 24/7, and that's why she wanted it. Here's an example of how well this radio separates FM stations, and I'm very impressed. Now, I don't have a situation of a small station right next to a 100,000-watt local. I don't have any such stations in this market. But I'm going to give you the following. 99.5 is a local translator here in Huntsville, pretty strong for a translator. 99.7 is a talk station in Nashville, WWTN. And 99.9 is a Southern Gospel station in Eva, Alabama, located, I don't know, maybe 30 miles from here. So although none of these are like a 100,000-watt boomer, they're all three pretty strong local signals, and you can see that the radio separates them very nicely.
So you're not entitled to anything. You're right. You got nada, so shut it about Prada. That's a pretty good line.
For Jesus has spoken.
For our final demonstration, we're going to go to 88.9, a Moody Bible station in Chattanooga. Their transmitter is actually up on Lookout Mountain, but they're about 100 miles away, about the only Chattanooga station we can really get. Now, I do have my 100,000-watt public radio on 89.3. And it's true, this isn't 89.1, it's 88.9, but I think you'll see that they do a respectable job.
It's not around, it's not under, it's not over, it's through, and the hope that we have in God.
Now you've heard about the TIAC HD1 radio. It can be had from J&R Music at 800-221-8180. They also have a website. If you know how to do such things, you may be able to find this radio online, even less expensively. If you don't already know what's available on HD radio in your market, be sure that you find out the return policy for any radio that you buy in case you don't find that there are any stations doing HD2 or HD3 that you actually want to listen to. If you have more questions to ask me, I can be reached at 256-650-5212. And this is Tim Hendel, signing off for today.